You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're all breaking.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20pm with Alex Dunn, John O'Connell and Andy Gibson in the studio. We have Market Racing and Sedgefield over the jumps. Well, hopefully we do. Inspections at both of those venues on Tuesday morning. We also have racing on the Fibre Sand at Southwell. So plenty to hopefully get stuck into. You'll hear all that. Do join them from 1:20. Right now, though, my name is Mark Walton, joined in the studio by Andy Gibson. How are you, Andy? You well?
I'm very good. Looking forward to doing this podcast and some good racing, certainly over the weekend coming up. Yep. I think we're going to have a look at the Betfair Hurdle, are we?
We are. We're going to look at the Betfair Hurdle. We're going to look back at some of the big performances from the weekend as well. Obviously, it was the first ever Dublin Racing Festival. Several questions in the Monday jury in the Racing Post relating to those races and the effect that they've had on the anti-post markets for the Cheltenham Festival. Do remember, we are live with the festival insurance here. So if you back a runner for the Cheltenham Festival, it doesn't make it to the festival, you do get your money back. Any race, any runner, any stake, you get it back in cash as well. None of this free bet stuff or anything like that. So that is live now. We're going to look at the questions in the Racing Post Monday jury. And then on the back of all of that, Andy's got a couple of bets for us for Tuesday as well. So without further ado, let's get into it. First race of the Racing Post Monday jury is Fahin playing for minor honours in the Champion Hurdle now. Obviously, only good enough for second in Ireland over the weekend. As a result of that, he did touch 6-1. He's now 11-2 in the market for the Champion Hurdle, behind Bouverdere, who's hardened at 4-9. It's then 14s for My Tent or Yours, York Hill 16s, 20-1 for Mellon, 20-1 for Min as well, and 25-1 on bigger prices for the remainder. What did you make of Fahin? Because he wasn't the sparkling Fahin that we're used to, or that we used to see.
No.
But he wasn't disgraced in defeat there. It was better than his previous performance as well. Is he going the right way? Could you still side with him for Cheltenham? Or is he just playing for places? Or what do you make of it?
Well, first of all, I don't think we can be absolutely certain that it was a step forward from his previous run, because he was pulled up on his previous outing.
Yeah.
And it was a sort of a precautionary pulled up where Paul Townend said that he just didn't feel any power underneath him. Well, if he'd have carried on with the horse and been beaten a half a length or two lengths or something like that, it may have reflected very similarly to this weekend. I don't know. But in terms of, is he playing for places only? Well, a fit 100% Fahin is vying to win the Champion Hurdle. If he isn't fit, then he probably isn't going to be in the first three or four. So to me, it just gives us an interesting dilemma. First of all, we can back him 11-2 with Hill's non-runner insurance. We know he's almost certainly, and I say almost certainly because I've been thinking, well, where else could he go? And of course, the only place he could go is the Stayers Hurdle. I doubt very much that's going to happen. I
couldn't see that.
No, you couldn't suddenly see it. But, you know, in terms of your monies, you've got to think of what are even the half percent chances. So he's basically going to go for the Champion Hurdle, or he's not going to go for anything. So at 11-2, if he gets to Cheltenham, You absolutely know the way all of the hype is with Cheltenham. There's going to be all these sort of, oh, he's back to his best, oh, a bit of sunshine on his back, and he's done this and he's done that. I don't think he's going to be 11-2 on the day if he runs.
In terms of
the William Hill offer non-runner insurance, then I think 11-2 is a perfectly acceptable bet, because I think if you back that to win, he'll either not run or he'll be shorter than that on the day, because he is the only viable contender for Bouverdere.
Yeah.
Having said all of that, would I rather oppose Bouverdere at 4-9, or would I rather oppose Fahin at perhaps 4-6 in the market without the favourite? I think that's where I would head, because Fahin would be a much more vulnerable favourite in that market compared to Bouverdere in the main market. So that's where I would be headed. I think Saturday was a very good day for Nicky Henderson via Bouverdere and Fahin, but it was also a really good day for somebody like Dan Skelton, who's got Chitabella. You look at the betting for the Champion Hurdle, something like 6 of the first 9 in the betting are trained by Willie Mullins. Only 1 or 2 of them are going to run. Chitabella's 25-1. He's third or fourth or fifth best in. He's in the market without the favourite. you might get 7-1 or something like that without the favourite. I think that Chitabella now looks like he's, you know, as likely as not to be in the first three places, certainly without the favourite.
Yeah, you could back him 25-1 each way now as well and still get the three places, given some of those runners probably won't even turn up. We might end with a small field jumping hurdle.
He's got it's a kind of by default situation for me, and I think that it's sensible place. Well, let's face it, where else are they going to go with the horse?
He's
handicapped out of things. He's a viable contender for the first four places in the champion hurdle. In fact, you'd be mildly surprised if he didn't come in the first four now.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, what, third, fourth favourite in the betting without the favourite when the market opens, as long as it's the non-runner insurance, he ain't going anywhere else. That's a really good offer.
Let's move on to the second question. Is Super Sunday your idea of the Stayers Hurdle winner? He's now the favourite for the Stayers Hurdle. He's been backed into 3-1, Sam Spinner 7-2, 10-1 for Apples, Jaden Penhill, 12-1 for Bacardi's and Lamy Sir, Jan Yanworth, 14s for the new one, alongside, you know what I mean, Harry, Holstone and Holstone. 16s or bigger for the remainder. He was still second favourite in the market over the weekend, so he's been backed again. Mm. He's now the favourite. Do you see him having a favourite chance?
No, certainly not. No, he's got a chance, but he's got a chance amongst several horses. And the reason he's been back to favourite is because of this sort of, this notion that he's beaten Forheen and therefore, oh, look, he's a much improved horse. But of course, if he's beaten Forheen and Mixed Jazz was only just behind them, then it's not that he's improved dramatically to beat Forheen. It's Forheen has run an awful long way below form.
Yeah.
And you can substantiate that notion by the proximity of Mixed Jazz in third. So he hasn't improved dramatically. He's in really good form. He was outstayed by Apples Jade last time over 3 miles. Debatable whether Apples Jade stays 3 miles. So you could arguably, you know, question the level of that form as well.
Yeah.
Super Sunday, on the plus side, he's a Cheltenham Festival winner. Massive, massive point in his favour. And I think there's four or five horses in there with chances, and he's definitely one of them. But it's his price of 3-1 is to do with this recency bias and a little bit of hype and hype on top of hype and media coverage on top of media coverage. You know, you've got a quiet horse at the moment because we haven't seen him for a long time in Sam Spinner.
Yeah.
Now, if Sam Spinner was trained by Willie Mullins or even Paul Nichols or Nicky Henderson, he would probably be 13-8 favourite on what he's done.
Yeah.
And the only doubt with Sam Spinner is will he go on the likely quicker ground? That is the only doubt with him.
Yeah.
If he does go on the ground, he is, in my opinion, by far the likeliest winner of the race.
Yeah, I really like Sam Spinner. I thought his performance last time not only showed his credentials, it showed a bit of guts there as well, and I think that's a good sign, obviously, coming up the hill at Cheltenham. So.
And look at the betting now. I mean, how long ago? Not many of those would have been in the betting a few weeks ago.
No.
I think Yanworth's going to go for the Reynolds Town at Ascot next week, and if something goes wrong in the Reynolds Town, then he'll be in the Stayers, presumably. I think his best chance of finishing in the first three at the Cheltenham Festival is probably in the Stayers. It's not that he hasn't got a chance in the RSA, but you'd obviously have some concerns about him jumping the fences at pace on a quicker surface.
Yeah. Let's move on to the third question. How strongly do you rate Min's performance in the Dublin Chase? Min is now the 3-1 second favourite for the Queen Mother Champion Chase. On the back of that, Altior still the favourite at 5-4. Big news about Altior as well. We're going to see him at the weekend. We're hopefully going to see him at the weekend. Nicky Henderson saying he's got an entry in the Game Spirit Chase and they want him to run. So the market could shake up again this weekend. But what do you rate Min's chances?
Yeah, I thought he was very, very good. I'm not sure on the level of the form in terms of most, you know, there's three or four horses in England would have beaten Simply Ned probably by further. So in terms of if you want to argue the pounds and lengths, that's one matter. But he looked impressive. He was very stylish. It was really good to see him held up. That's the calmest I've ever seen him go through a race, which must be a huge boost to the yard and their idea of his chances. And the key with him is they've got Min and Duvan.
Yeah.
They're both not likely to go for the same race. They might, but they're not likely to. Which of the two would be most likely to go up to the Ryanair? On recent discussions, you would have thought that Min was more on their mind to step up. I wouldn't like him stepping up myself. I'd back top notch in the Ryanair. I'd be fairly confident that he would outstay Min. I've backed Politilog in the Champion Chase, but that was simply a bet for its time where the first four in the betting didn't look certain to run and Politilog was the guaranteed runner. And it could have, you know, if Devan pulled out and Altior pulled out and Fox Norton went for the Ryanair, Politilog by default would have been a 2-1 favourite.
Yeah.
So I'm on him each way, and do I think Min is a danger to him? Absolutely.
Interesting how that betting shaped up as well, because I looked at this on Saturday evening. Min was 3-1. Duvan went all the way out to 6-1. He's now come back into 4, so somebody somewhere feels that Duvan would still run, providing he proves his fitness and he's shortened back up again. So that's interesting.
And who knows? I mean, there was a Willie Mullins was interviewed last week on TV, and he was saying, look, you know, they're just taking it one day at a time. So that could be just somebody from the stable seeing him work one day well, going to the thinking, well, 6-1's too big, I'll go and have a little pop at that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that one £20, £100 bet or whatever would have a bigger impact than it should.
Yeah. Fourth question, is Footpad banker material in the Racing Post Arkle? He's 4-5 at the top of the market for the Arkle. Petit Mouchoir, 5-1 second in. 11-2, Sir Royal. Brain Power is 10, 12-1 St. Calvados, and 16-1 are bigger prices for the others. Footpad was foot perfect at the weekend in the Irish version of the Arkle. Petit Mouchoir, though, I thought ran with a lot of credit after a long absence, finishing second to Footpad. I think those two, obviously, as the market suggests, are the two main players now for the Arkle. But is Footpad a banker? That's the question.
For me, absolutely not a banker. When you look back at this race the last 2 years with Duvan and Altior, I would imagine that they were broadly similar prices to Footpad at this stage. And yet they had proven themselves to be well clear of every other horse in the field. I don't think Footpad has done that. There's plenty of grounds to believe that Footpad is in the same ballpark at least as Petit Mouchoir, So Royal, Brain Power on hurdles form. North Hill Harvey would be thereabouts as well on hurdles form, you know, a little bit behind them perhaps, but not much. Footpad's been very good over his fences. Petit Mouchoir, it's what you think before a race is often worth remembering. And before Saturday, I felt very confident that Petit Mouchoir would come on for the run more than Footpad, a very, very obvious thing to think. And so therefore, I'm not that disappointed with the way Petit Mouchoir ran. If you're on Footpad at 12-1, then good luck to you. You've had a great bet. But at the odds at the moment, 4-5 and 5-1, for me, I'd far rather be on Petit Mouchoir each way. I think there's two ways of attacking this race now. Petit Mouchoir each way, and then wait for the non-runner no bet or the non-runner insurance market to open in the without the favourite, and have a little stab at North Hill Harvey each way, because at the moment he's fifth favourite in the market without Footpad. You might get 8 or 9 to 1 for him, and I think North Hill Harvey will be thereabouts in the Arkle, perhaps not good enough to beat a Footpad if Footpad is once again foot perfect.
Yeah. Petit Mouchoir, by the way, over the weekend, he was 15-2 directly after the race, the Dublin Chase, and he's now contracted to 5-1. So there has been steady money for Petit Mouchoir.
And that's understandable, isn't it, Mark? I mean, yeah. He closed him down at the finish. I know Footpad was being eased, but Footpad was much better over certainly 3 or 4 of the first few hurdles, fences, I beg your pardon, than Petit Mouchoir. Petit Mouchoir looked a little bit rusty, got better as he warmed up. And I think Henry de Bromhead will be really encouraged with that. And I would have thought that if he spoke honestly, he just wouldn't know whether he could beat Footpad. But I would think he'd be confident that there wouldn't be a lot in it.
And let's not forget, Petit Mouchoir did get the better of Footpad on a couple of occasions over hurdles. So
he was 3-0 last year.
Yes, so there you go. Next question, what else has impressed you this weekend with the Cheltenham Festival in mind?
Well, obviously Sam Crowe, but I think, you know,
everyone's impressed by him, I think.
Yeah, so we're not seeing anything there. the only dilemma with him is will it be Supreme or Ballymore that he wins?
Which would you go for, by the way, with that?
In terms of outcome, I don't think it actually matters, because I think he'll win whichever one he goes for.
Okay.
As long as he's in that form, which, of course, there is always an if in that. I think in terms of the longer term, you know, I think we read there was something over the weekend about these 4 Gold Cup winners all went for the Supreme, so going for the 2-miler isn't a problem. I'm not sure it matters that much. I mean, I think it's more to do with what Giggenstown have elsewhere, and what, you know, and if their plans for the horse are to go further, perhaps they'll end up in the Ballymore, and that's where they've seemed to be leaning all this time. And the thing is, they knew they were heading for the Ballymore when they entered in for the Deloitte over 2 miles, so just because he wins impressively over 2 miles, would that change their minds? I mean, they would have expected him to win impressively.
Mm.
So it's probably Ballymore, and he'll probably win. And he was super impressive, but because everybody else can see that, it's not really worth very much saying that. I mark every Cheltenham Festival favourite out of 10 when I'm deciding whether to be with them or oppose them or just simply avoid them. And certainly Sam Crowe is the number one favourite to avoid, I think. That's the one race where now, if we're not on him, we absolutely have to go in the market without him, in my view.
Okay. He's already odds on as well now, isn't he? So
Yeah, of course. Everyone's
on to him. What about elsewhere then? What are the...
Monalee was... You couldn't not be impressed with Monalee's jumping. Really good to see after that fall last time out. I think it was a pleasant surprise for all concerned. I'm not saying that they thought he was going to make loads of mistakes or anything, but I think that they thought there might be some repercussions from that heavy fall that he took, and there didn't appear to be. On the negative side, there was about five horses in with a winning chance with 100 yards to go. Mm. So the chances of them all being champions are not great. I remember thinking the same in the, I think it was the same race 3 or 4 years ago when Boston Bob, Lord Windermere, and one other that escapes my mind, a Desi Hughes horse it was, they all finished within an inch of each other. Mm. And you thought, well, they can't all be champions. And then in the RSA, Boston Bob probably would have won it, but for falling at the last or the second last, and Lord Windermere did win it. Mm. Monalee, 4-5-1. You know, he's in there with a chance amongst many others for the RSA chase. But would I be frightened of him? Certainly, you know, not in the same way you'd be frightened of Sam Crowe, but that's reflected in the market, isn't it?
It is. One of the we were going to mention, Terra 4, who we saw on these shows at the weekend, he's got a quote of 11-1 now for the JLT. Could you see him playing a big part in that race?
My guess is he's more ground dependent than one or two that we've mentioned. I think that him and Surname are two very good intermediate distance novice chasers, yeah. And I'm not sure what that will add up to. Surname, I would imagine, would go to Kempton in a couple of weeks' time at the end of February before the festival. Rather than the festival. Okay. I don't particularly see him as a festival horse, but he might be. But I think it's Paul Nichols farms that race. What is it? The Dovecote?
Yeah.
He farms that race, so I think that might well be his horse for that one. And Terra 4, to beg your pardon, for me, I'd just be wary of him on a quicker surface. He's only had the two runs over fences in England. It's quite inexperienced for a race like the JLT. Ben Pauling, interestingly enough, has had two winners today. I don't know if he's just had a third one, I'm not sure. Because it's now 3:37, and I think the odds-on favourite was running in the 3:35. So hopefully Ben Pauling's horses are coming back to form, and will he be caught will certainly be a player in the JLT. And you can see within there's three or four entries in there which will guarantee there's going to be a fast pace in that race.
Let's get the final question done then for the Monday jury as well. What do you like the look of in Saturday's Betfair Hurdle? The market headed by joint favourites at the time of recording this. Jenkins and Layla are both 8-1. 10-1 for Irish Row. Kalashnikov 10-1 with Cafe Grace. 11's Blue Air Rouge. 12-1 for Lochdurg Spirit. And 14's or bigger for the remainder. Obviously, very early days with regards to the Betfair Hurdle. But Eddie, early runners on the agenda?
I think just some interesting points to consider. First of all, Highbridge is in there at 14-1. We haven't seen him for a little while. He beat a horse called Charlie Parks last time out, leading all the way. He led by default that day. That could have even been Ben Pauling's last winner before these winners today, because he's had 6 or 7 weeks without a winner. Mm. The fact that Ben Pauling has had those winners today, let's see how they run in the week, because you can't always say, well, oh, he's had two winners or three winners, therefore he's back to form. I remember Philip Hobbs early in January had three winners, and it looked like he turned the corner. But, you know, I'm sure Philip would have thought that he would have turned the corner quicker than he has, let's put it that way. So let's see with Ben Pauling, but I'd keep my eye on Highbridge for that reason alone. Jenkins is an interesting one. When they've stuck the blinkers on him, he's ran two cracking races, and, you know, they obviously appear to have found a key with him. And once they've done that with a horse who is definitely quirky, but also definitely very talented, you wouldn't want to turn your back on him very quickly. Dropping back to 2 miles, he's bound to be ridden aggressively. And this race has been suited to horses that have been in the first three or four all the way around in previous years. So in that sense, Jenkins will probably have a very big advantage there. The one horse I'm very interested in that probably won't get his ground on Saturday is Charlie Parks. He is crying out for a decent surface. I don't think he's going to get it on Saturday. And the next time he gets it will probably, it's only my guess, will be in the County Hurdle, for which he's something like 16s or something like that. But he wants good ground, and he's an extremely well-handicapped horse.
Okay, for you to consider then for the Betfair hurdle coming up on Saturday. But let's concentrate on matters a little close to hand now. We'll get a couple of selections out for Tuesday's racing. We'll go through them in time order. The Market Raisin 220 is the first race we look at. 2 miles and 3 furlongs is the trip for this mare's handicap chase. What's made you pick this race, Andy?
Well, I just, first of all, it's a difficult choice tomorrow. There's not a lot on offer. So, you know, sometimes you do this podcast and you're looking at a race the following day and you're thinking, oh, this is great. I've got 3 or 4 choices here and I really like this one in particular. Tomorrow, with the best will in the world, this is a case of, well, we've got to go for 2 horses and it's 2 choices out of a bad group of choices, really. And, you know, I think it's very important to mention that because, you don't want to be making out that you're mad on something when actually it's just a difficult choice. Mm. In this case with the Gary Moore horse, Stoical Patient, she fell last time out. Prior to that, she was progressive. She's gone up from 71 to 100 in 3 or 4 races, and she's running off 100 again tomorrow. And I think that she's very potentially the only progressive or the most progressive mare in the field. And for that reason alone, she is my next best bet tomorrow. Stoical Patient, ridden by Jamie Moore for his dad, Gary Moore.
That's the next best then. So I'm guessing the nap follows in the 3:15 at Sedgefield, a 2-mile, 5-furlong handicap chase. It's one of the Northern Lights Middle Distance Chase Series qualifiers. I feel there's 6 to go to post for this one. What are your thoughts there?
And the only shame with this race is there's not 8 runners, because this is definitely an each-way nap. And it's a tentative each-way nap, and it's Oscar Oscar from the Mickey Hammond Yard. He hasn't got the best win-to-run ratio. He's won 2 from 16 chases. He's been in the first 3 6 times. He's finished in the first 3 12 times from his 31 races. He's got conditions in his favour tomorrow. And all I would say, and Finian O'Toole, the jockey, is the only jockey to have won on him. He's on board tomorrow. The course, the distance, the going, all in his favour. He's a tentative nap, I would say. But okay, Certainly he is the nap.
So that's the nap selection then. Oscar Oscar in the 3:15 at Sedgefield to go along with Stoical Patience in the 2:20 at Market Raisin. I can tell you, by the way, another winner for Ben Pauling, because Global Citizen's just won by 8 lengths.
Good. Really pleased for him. I mean, it must be very stressful for a trainer, for any trainer, you know, but you've got all those owners. You want to please them. You don't want to disappoint them. And it's great news for the yard.
Top stuff, Andy. Been a pleasure. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy the racing on Tuesday.
Lovely. Been a pleasure. Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Andy Gibson on Tuesday's racing. Then you can hear it all live on Racing Radio. 1:20 is the start time. Alex Dunn, John O'Connell and Andy Gibson in the studio. Market Raisin, Sedgefield and Southwell will be the meetings, providing they all go ahead. So do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.